I'm going to continue on this series, The Cost of Discipleship. How many want to follow Jesus? As I dealt with last week, many times when it comes to following Him, it's easy to turn your life over. It's another thing to become a disciple. Because there's self-denial involved to follow after Christ. Amen. He says, whomsoever will may come. But how many knows many are called, but few are chosen. There's a process in that. And if we follow that process, it's not hard. But there's self-denial involved. None of us have a right to hold on to flesh. Oh, say amen. If you say you're born that way, that's fine. And then when you get born again, that cancels that out. There is no excuse. When somebody says, well, I'm born that way, well, then get born again. How many of us, Jesus cuts through every argument. Sometimes we build our case for flesh and flesh won't hold up. Everyone will give account of their own life. Amen. In John 6, starting with verse 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give him shall be my flesh, which I shall give as life to the world. Verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, there's no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. Now, Jesus is not talking about cannibalism here. Okay? But it's amazing to me that when he began to preach the word, he's not preempting it anywhere. It's amazing to me that somebody could sit in church and Jesus could deliver this sermon and say, this guy wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Who does he think he is? I mean, when the word of God is preached, sometimes people will challenge his character. He's speaking figuratively here. He's saying, listen to me, unless you partake of me, there is no life in you. But it's amazing to me that he'll let the word go forth. He'll speak the truth. Do you want to know what he means or not? Do you really want to understand what he's saying? He's speaking the word saying, listen to me, my flesh is going to be life to you. For many, they started to quarrel amongst themselves. How is this guy going to give us flesh to eat, blood to drink? For some, they became instantly offended. It's amazing to me that when the word of God goes forth, how offended people can get. An offense will keep you out of the kingdom of God. An offense will stop your ears from receiving more. Say amen. There's been times I've officiated at funerals. And at times, there's a whole gamut of individuals. Some may serve the Lord, some may be away from the Lord, and some do not care to serve the Lord at all. And there's been times where I've noticed over the crowd, the congregation, that some people I've seen do this. I mean, there's not a lot's going on, but the word's still good. I mean, the word can even penetrate that heart. When it comes to Jesus, he doesn't look just that outward countenance. He's speaking the truth and he's letting the word work. Now, can you imagine if Jesus came into Sunday morning service and say, if you want life, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. How many would be going in your mind like, man, I'm not doing that. How many would take it on a carnal level and say, man, this guy's nuts. Who does he think he is? See, the words that Jesus speak are spirit and they are, where's their life? I mean, that's the words that he's speaking. He's trying to speak a word into the situation and say, listen, unless you partake of me, you have no life. My body is going to become bread for you. Aren't you glad he broke down and gave of his body? Amen. Yes or no? Come on. Look at verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say unto you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats the flesh and drinks the blood abides in me, and I in him. I mean, those are pretty strong words. He's speaking the spiritual truth there, saying, hey, listen to me. Eating and drinking denotes full, actual faith. It's the cost of discipleship. Are we all out for him or not? How many of us, he's the bread of life that came down. He gave of his blood. We serve that in communion at times. It isn't the actual blood of him, but it's figurative. It's standing in that place saying, you know what? I want life in me. I need to partake of Christ. I need to partake of his life. That blood needs to work in me. That flesh that he gave, it needs to work in me. The words are spirit. He's speaking a word. And it's amazing how many people got offended at this word. See, we like it when it's prosperity. We like it when it's blessing. We like it as when God says, hey, I want you to do this, there's when the resistance happens. The cost of discipleship needs to be, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm not always talking about some great freedom of strength. He's saying, will you accept this by faith? Will you take my word? Come on. When it comes to these phrases of flesh and blood, four times he repeats this phrase. Do you think if Jesus said something over four different times in these portions of scripture, he may want to get your attention? One should be enough. And how many parents have ever told your kids more than once for something? I know you have. I know you have. Some of you have done it daily, weekly, and hourly. Now, some children are clean and some kids are messy. True? Has anybody ever said, clean up your room? I was going to clean up my room. I could put it all under the bed and be clean in just a moment. Until you looked under the bed and, oh my gosh. All right? How many ever told your kids to take out the trash? Or nobody does chores anymore? I remember I had to do chores when I was growing up. Anybody have to do chores in here? It taught you a little bit. Did anybody get like a nickel or a quarter or a dime or you didn't get squat? You got to praise the Lord, hit you on the back there, you're doing your job. All right. Eating and drinking, it requires this. It denotes full actual faith. He's the Lamb of God. He's the manna from heaven. We must partake of him. In John 6, verse 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That means this. Listen, the cost of discipleship is we got to drink up. Like, I got to taste and see that he is what? Notice that he is good. When believers have a problem with Jesus, you're not drinking enough. Because if you taste and see, he is good. He is a satisfying thing in your life. Because you know what? You can sin as much as you want, but it's never satisfying. It always has that edge there. It's like it's never complete. It's never good. It may seem fun for a time, but then the season is over. Then it's tremendous guilt and many times destructive work. But you ever been filled with the Spirit and been satisfied? Yes or no? The problem with us is that we leak. You can get all filled with the Spirit and leak out the next day. And sometimes you can leak pretty fast by opening up your mouth. Come on. See, we need to be, that's what's going to be neat about heaven is that when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll always be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's so awesome. Changed the whole demeanor. When I look at Jesus, he's saying, listen to me, you need to drink it up. If you're taking notes, Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's so true. When we drink up, it means this, we have fervent faith. I'm taking that area and saying, you know what? I'm living this, I'm drinking this up. I shared with Kenny earlier in the service. If you got two jugs and this one has a bunch of dirt, and this is clean. I mean, if you add water to the dirt, what do you get? You get mud, don't you? But what if you took that muddy thing and you kept adding and adding and adding and pouring out, adding more water, adding more water, adding more water, adding more water. Sooner or later, the impurities would come out, true? That's what the Lord does in our lives. We're a muddy mess without Jesus. What finally was good in your life was added. You know what? You're a muddy mess. But if you keep that water flowing, the word of God flowing in you, sooner or later you come forth pure. We all need that. We go from vessel to vessel. And you know what? Your last vessel is dirty. The new ones start to be a little more clean. That process will go all the way till you breathe your last. But we have to stay in that process. No one in here wants to drink dirty water. I know there's some people in this world that have to because, let's face it, I don't know why governments don't drill wells everywhere. Amen. Say amen. You would rather let your people starve to death and dehydrate than just doing a little bit of work? Come on. There's water in the earth. How many of us, everything we need that pertains to life and godliness, he's given us. I don't like it when people get to like, man, Lord, go down that road. When I look at disciples, look at verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. The cost of the disciples is we got to have that life, that community in Christ. Notice we are in Christ first, then hallelujah. I mean, that's the first part. You're in Christ. And secondly, Christ in us. We're in Christ and Christ in us. Notice that's fellowship one with another. He's the heavenly food that became alive by a living faith. Lord, I want to abide in you. Amen. I'm a going Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm in you and you're in me. There's community there. There's love there. There's relationship there. We're current in those things. Notice what Jesus is saying to him. He's speaking a spiritual truth, but he's laying it flat out. Will you be offended at what I share? If you are, then you will not partake of me. I love it that he doesn't sugarcoat the word and say, oh, we're all okay. We're on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Come follow me. He's saying, if you want to follow me, you got to pick up your cross. Deny yourself. And then he speaks a little harder. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. There must be community together. There must be a relationship together. This heavenly food needs to be part of your daily diet. Look at verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father who feeds me, hallelujah, he will live because of me. And Jesus said, listen to me, if you're in me, I'm in the Father. The nutrients of life that came from the Father to the Son come to us too. That means you will be satisfied with everything you need in life while you're on this planet. Isn't that good? I mean, as the body needs certain nutrients to sustain. In Christ, you'll get every nutrient that you need. Even what you don't think you need, you'll get it. I mean, you need to abide in Christ. It isn't just part Jesus in our life. I'm going to live all out for him now, then I'll just move away. No, you're all out for him. How many have are plan on eating today? Okay, anybody plan on eating tomorrow maybe? Tuesday? How many of you are going to plan on eating sometime? No, I'm spiritual today. I'm fasting. That's cool. But are you going to eat sometime this month? Yes or no? Then if you're going to take care of natural food, bless God, you need spiritual food in your life. And if you're not preparing for it, what are you doing? We can't fast the Word of God. We can't fast in our relationship. We need this. It's the cost of discipleship. Look at verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers who ate the manna, and they died. He who eats of this bread will what? Live forever. How many want to live forever? Hallelujah. Your fathers ate manna and they perished. But I came down from heaven. I am that man. I'm the manna man. I'm he who's going to satisfy you. Come on, we got to partake of him. Taste and see that he's good. Then you know what? He's given of his life. That spiritual food that we need, that we so desperately need, we must partake. It's not hard to be a Christian. But it's amazing to me how many excuses are laid out why we don't do what we should do. Ben Franklin said this, he who is good at excuses isn't good for much else. Come on, we can't make excuses why. He's preaching to a service in Capernaum and saying, listen to me, you're going to follow me? This is the cost. He's talking to his disciples. He's speaking to the Jews, and now all of a sudden people are getting upset. Usually when somebody gets upset, they get somebody else upset. Never let somebody else's offense become your offense. Sometimes it's baited and trapped, and all of a sudden you're angry at somebody that you have no business to even be in there. Oh, that is good preaching. If that person's offended, that person needs to go to that person and not you. Is that too straight up? I mean, is that, no, you go to that. And you know, you need to bring that instruction too. Look, if you're upset, you need to go to that person. If you become the filter, then you're part of the problem. And if you add your little 2 cents, or you're really half a cent, say amen. I mean, would you not add to it? Jesus is looking at him saying, you know what? Bring it. You're offended at me. He's speaking the most powerful words of life ever. No man can back up his sayings. There's been a lot of people who have lost their life trusting in man. A lot of people follow some religious leader, say, I'm the way, the truth, and say, find out that he wasn't. Jesus is saying, listen to me, I am the one who can bring eternal life to you. I'm speaking words into your life that you must follow. You must dine of me. I'm going to give of myself. Now, for a lot of the Jews, they were looking for a new ruler to raise up. They were tired of Rome. They were tired of the tyranny. And now this guy's talking about giving of his flesh. That means he's going to die? You're going to bleed? What kind of king comes here and just dies? We're looking for somebody to set up rule. I mean, that's an offense in itself. Sometimes people are looking at Jesus for something else. Oh, I can preach that. Say amen. Look at verse 60. And many of his disciples heard these things and said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Now, when you break this down, many were heard, not only the 12 that were there, but many that came along and become partner, because at one time he sent them out, there were 70. I don't know how many was the finished number, but many became obedient to the faith, and some were even like Nicodemus. They believed, but they weren't following too close. And it says many, man, what is this saying? It's like now I'm being challenged in my own faith. The Jews couldn't bear that all of a sudden this guy's going to come and die and give his life a ransom of many. That means his flesh was going to be tore up. And if you're going to follow him, you got to partake of this. The idea of eating his flesh and drinking of his blood, figuratively or literally, was an offense to them. You know, I ain't doing that. How about today if Jesus said, hey, pick up your cross and follow me? No, I just want to come when I want to come. I still got all this stuff to do first, Lord. Oh, I'm going to preach this. If we use excuses why we don't follow him, it's no different than this today. I got this going on. I got to go do this. It's my only free time. You mean it's costing you so much time to serve the Lord? Say amen. Think about it. You lay down your life now, you're having eternity to pick it up again. And what would you exchange for that time frame? Everyone who uses that for excuse is not seeing clearly. Lord, open up eyes. You have love and compassion, but God, get a hold of them. Jesus is speaking the words of life to him. Say, listen, if you don't follow this way, you're going to perish. I have eternal life, and I'm offering to you. Amen. Look at verse 61. And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were complaining. And he says, does this offend you? Notice he's speaking a word to them. Does this offend you? In Romans 9, verse 33, it says, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. But whosoever believes on him, he will not be put to shame. In 1 Corinthians 1, 23, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. It's there today. Picture him looking at his 12 and saying, are you offended too? Notice Jesus is speaking it all out. He's laying it all out there. He's looking to say, listen to me. Are you going to deny? Yes, I'm saying I've got to die. I have to give of my life. Oh, Lord, we don't want you to do that. No, we're looking for a king. We got to partake of something. I means I got to do something. There's personal responsibility in this. Absolutely. But I'm going to go before you. Come on. I mean, what we have to do is very little. Look at verse 62. What then? If you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. This denotes the dying of Jesus. I'm going to ascend where I was before. I'm only here to give my life a ransom for many. I'm only here to restore the relationship that's been broken between you and the Father. I'm giving up my life. No, we want a kingdom now. We want to have smooth words. We don't want to hear a sermon like that. That'd be coming in like, man, I wasn't expecting that Sunday morning. And notice his disciples were quarreling amongst themselves too, because he's saying hard things. He is. But he's working in them saying, listen, this is the reality. I have to die. And for you to have life, you got to partake of what I have, my spirit in your life. My spirit must come into your life. My word must come into your life. This is how it's going to happen. I have to yield up the Holy Ghost. It's kind of quiet this morning. Are you thinking? Or are you thinking, man, I should have skipped this Sunday. Get me on that joy series, praise the Lord. Look at verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. His flesh and the logos of the word assure salvation. That means he's going to give up his physical body and his word's going to work in us. Spirit and life. I got to have this. You got to partake of that spirit. You got to have that life in you. He is speaking words of life. He is speaking something so strange to their ears, because for the first time, the full revelation is being spoken to them. This is how you're going to get your life right with me. You remember, you were under this old covenant of bulls and goats. God could look back and push the sins back every year, but now the Lamb of God has came. How many of you partake of the Lamb? How many of you must eat of that area? That blood had to be spilled upon the altar. It all brought life. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We need that today. The sacrifice of the cross for our sins and the justification that he arose from the dead. Look at verse 64. But there's some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray. The Jews were being offended, and Jesus knew it. And he also knew that Judas was going to betray him too. Even though he called Judas, he knew what was in every man's heart. Say amen. I mean, those God will reach anyone. Even the betrayer, he still reaches. There's been a lot of betrayers over the years, but he still loves. He still calls. Come on. Verse 65. Then he said, therefore, I have said to you, come on, I've said to you that no one can come to the Father unless it's granted by him. Notice the Father is calling out, but you just can't approach him on your own ways. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why when you think somebody's going to be there outside of Christ, it won't happen. No matter what generation, no matter what time frame, from the beginning until the last person saved, you came through Christ. In the Old Testament, they looked towards the cross. We now can look back at the cross. The cross has always been the center of mankind across. It's our faith. They all believed. They all trusted. In fact, the matter is sometimes the Old Testament people believe better than we do. Even though they didn't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost like we do. We have zero excuse. They worked off the revelation they had from Scripture. We have the whole Bible. Come on, we are without excuse. We can't hold on to things. And today's society is so wimpy today. I can't do that. Following Jesus is too hard. Takes away all my fun. Somebody go, eh. Do it like you mean it. Eh. That's what it's like. Eh. Mama, can't live for Jesus. Come on. That won't hold any water. And the whole time Satan applauds that. That's good. That's good. Keep doing that. Man, you're going to have all kinds of life in you. Keep doing that. You want to be busy? I'll really make you busy. Amen. When I look at partaking of Christ, the disciples got upset. They did. Like, The Jews got upset and offended. They did. And Jesus is looking at them all saying, will you be offended too? He's speaking truth. Notice he's looking at them with unbelievable love. But if you don't heed to this, you're going to die too. He has so much compassion, but he can only do so much. You have to do your part. He prepares the way. He gives you the word he gave of his life. But if you still say no, it's on you. That's why no one can blame somebody when they get to go to hell. That doctrine that, man, it's God's fault. No, it's your fault. And one day you'll finally come to that senses that, listen, it is my fault. No one can blame God if they're not with him. When we partake of Christ, it's this, putting our confidence in him personally as our source. Having a firm faith in his life, even his sacrificial death. When we have communion on a Sunday, it's partaking of that ordinance, receiving that life. We do this in remembrance of him. All these show there's a change. We just can't have one or the other. It shows that we're changed. Christ is in us. We have that constant fellowship. This morning, you're tasting and seeing. Are you not dining at the word? Yes. As your pastor, I will not come ill-prepared here. I will bring you a meal. Break out your knife and fork and chew. And when you leave with leftovers, eat those the next day. How many of you can go over this word? I agree with Jeff. Listen to me. It's got to be layer upon layer. Keep building on that. Look at verse 66. And here's a... It worked out this way numerically, but it's John 6:66 in my Bible. And many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. I memorized that when I was a young student. John 6:66. A demonic thing happened. Many ceased to follow him. Many ceased to follow him. Many disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? They had the same situation for all of them. They all could have departed. But here's what I thank God about Peter. He may have done some goofy things. He may have jumped off here and there. But he got this right. Jesus asked the question. The cost of discipleship is a voluntary decision. The Lord asked the question in order to test their faithfulness, to hear their confession, and to draw them closer to himself. Verse 68, then Peter answered, Lord, whom shall we go? For you have words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When I look at this here, Peter was assured of four things. One is there's nowhere else to go. Two, Christ alone has the words of eternal life. Three, Jesus was the Christ. And four, he was the Son of the living God. Notice his confession. He got it down. He knew. He figured it out. God worked in him. Many were departing. And he says, how about you guys? Will you leave too? Now, Judas did leave. Later on in the verse, you get to about 71, he departed. Judas was offended at Christ. There's no doubt about it. Will you leave too? And then revelation comes. Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go if you leave Jesus? Where? Where are you going to go? Back to your sin? The rest are going that way. You'll die in it. Can you imagine his heart breaking, knowing that if you walk away from me, there's no more hope? There's sometimes I really believe that's a tear for God, a hurt for him. He doesn't like it when people end up in hell. He does not like it. To me, the saddest day is still coming for our Lord. When he has to say, depart from me, I never knew you. That isn't great joy. That's not celebration for him. He gave of everything he could. Yet we have a will. We can choose to serve him or not. He's spoken hard words to them, but it wasn't that hard if you break it down spiritually. If you only hold the word in flesh, I'm not drinking of him, eating of him, forget that noise. But if you understand the spiritual impact of that, Lord, I'm going to dine on you. Come on. Christ alone has words of what? Eternal life. He alone. Who else can make that statement? How about this? He is the Lord. How about this? Man, he's the Son of the living God. That means the Father is now being revealed through the Son. I'm finally getting it. I'm revealing him. Jesus wanted to hear what they had to say. He wanted to hear, listen to me, I ask you a question. Now here's the confession of that. That confession is important. There are times you need to confess to your own self, I am saved. The enemy, listen to me, when you get saved, the enemy's going to work on you. You're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved. Well, that thought didn't come in before you got saved. Start to learn to doubt your doubts. Amen? No, I am saved. You need to speak that. I am saved. He is the Christ. I'm not leaving him. He only has the words of life. These are things that you speak forth because you become partake of it. The cross is no longer a fence once you get saved. It's a wonderful welcome. Those things fade away. Fleshly words, listen to me. You'll get offended at Jesus no matter what he does. And you can choose. Will you follow me or not? Those who did became world changers. Those who did become world changers. As Ronnie shared, four people got saved. That's world changers. Somebody's world is different because you're on it. Sometimes we look so global. It's an individual too. My world has changed because Jesus is in there. We carry the words of life, don't we? Yes, we do. In this room, you might need to partake of him. He's not talking about cannibalism, but I need to dine in him, partake of his word, eat of that word, that spirit, that life. Drink that up. Be filled with the spirit. When he speaks, Lord, I'm going to hear that word. Offense will keep you out. And you know what? We know Judas departed. I don't know the names of a whole lot of other ones. But I even pray later on they turned. And scripture said in the book of Acts that many priests became obedient to the faith after the resurrection. Hopefully some of these guys returned. Some of these ladies returned. I don't know. But there are a lot of pharaohs in Egypt that missed out. They couldn't take their stuff to the afterlife. Amen? How many of those that Jesus said, I am it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want to encourage you to count the cost. And when he speaks a word and asks you a question, it's not that he doesn't know the answer. The question is always for us. It gets us to think, to pause, and respond. Let's respond appropriately. Amen? Let's take Peter's confession and make it our own. Hallelujah. I'll read this and I'll close. There's nowhere else to go. You alone have words of eternal life. Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That confession will work a powerful work in you. Because that means I'm not going anywhere. I'm not being offended at your word. I'm going to eat what you have to share. I realize that you are my Savior. And the Father now is mine. You're going nowhere. Hallelujah. And I really believe this was a big storm for them to walk through. Many left, but world changers formed. I'm going to want to be a world changer. You all should have your hand up. Well, I can't do that. You can change one life. You can change one life. And you need to start with that life. This life is changing, and I can help that one. Hallelujah. How many have counted the cost? Say, I'm going to follow him. Let me see your hand this morning. He's posed the question, will you be offended or will you partake of me? How many want to partake of him? All right, keep your hands up for a moment. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, we declare by a lifted hand, by an act of surrender, that God, we want to follow you. You are the Christ. Where will we go without you? You alone have words of eternal life. And Jesus, I know that through you, we know the Father. We're privileged to be saved. Lord, we count the cost this morning, and we're all out for you. We're going to dine on the Son of God. And Lord Jesus, when we come across the offense, we're quick to deal with that. Because we know, Lord God, that will drive us away. But God, we're going to follow you. And Lord, if we don't understand your word, we'll look at your character. He's speaking words of life. Let me receive it. Now bless your people as they go. Keep them strong in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that are vacationing, refresh them, God, and bring them back. In Jesus' name, amen.